still, baby, still running the wrestling world. Look at all these titles we have.
I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, it's kind of like, reminds me of the good old days.
It's like the time when we go to Big Boy, I bring my title, you bring your title. We'd sit there at Big Boy, you drink a bunch of coffee, and I would drink like 15 or 16 beers. And we talked about how we ran the wrestling world.
It would all be paid for, too. Remember Masa?
Of course.
Big fat Masa.
Jeez, man. Those you guys got him over.
Those were the
good
days. Yeah.
Don, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Hey, man. It's all good. We're running things now, bro.
Here's the thing. I'd love to sit here, brother, all night, but sadly, you guys know I don't really want to do this, but I have to go work. I have to wrestle. Right now.
Are you serious?
I'd rather sit here on this bus, trust me.
Who are you wrestling today?
I'm Ethan Page.
You should be him in about 2 minutes. You still come back here for cocktail hour, brother.
I mean, yeah, 2 minutes. It might take a little longer than that.
Why would it take longer than that? You're the machine gun.
Yeah, you're a gunner.
Yeah.
But you came from the You remember the G1 2012?
Everybody does. Yeah.
Match of the year. You and Kazuchika Okada. I remember.
G1 finals. Is
the
machine gun going to be out there? Because that machine gun wouldn't even need a minute, would you?
Don't tell me! My video! Are you kidding me?
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another great edition of Elite Wrestling Audio, the only podcast that brings two boricuas from the Bronx, providing you with barbershop conversations and more for the sport of professional wrestling. It's your boy Val Cisco, alongside me, my tag team partner Jay Rance, and we're here like FTR to take over, buddy. How you doing, Jay?
Hell yeah, give me the hot tag. I'm chilling, bro. I'm good, relaxing, having my brewski. You over there sipping on a Foster. I'm sipping on the Medalla.
Ooh, we're really going international today. Australia and Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Look at that. Worldwide Connect, area codes. but now I'm chilling, man. Hope everybody's doing good, you know, enjoying their Sunday and stuff like that. We had two big events in the wrestling world, so that's what we're here to discuss. Mm-hmm.
We're going to bring the Sunday night heat. And no, we're not doing a throwback show. We're going to be talking about Triple Mania, Triple A's big WrestleMania-esque event. And of course, Impact Wrestling ends their year with Final Resolution. What happened? How did things go? Well, we're going to bring you that news real quickly. Speaking of news, I kind of want to start off with this topic real quickly, since there wasn't a lot of news this week. Besides one hot item, I want to get your hot take on it, bro. I'm going to throw the hot tag to you right now. Vince McMahon sending a couple big man wrestlers back down to the Performance Center. People like Davocado, people like Otis are going to the Performance Center for some much needed training and getting in ring shape for the next months to come. But not only those who are going down, we're also getting our favorite big man, Keith Lee, getting sent back down to the PC for much needed training. I got to hear this from you, man. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Honestly, it's like it makes me feel like he doesn't know what he's doing. It also shows me that you're very hot and cold. You're like a small child when they bring him a G.I. Joe and he gets tired of the G.I. Joe and I don't want this no more. You're very spoiled, you don't know your own product. You get what I'm saying? Because, bro, you look at Otis, you look at Keith Lee, these are big dudes. You know these guys already, but now all of a sudden their weight bothers you. Why? And this is the problem that I get pissed off with WWE indoctrination, mindset, because our dear friend Jeremy is another dude like that. No, my wrestler has to be muscular and big. He can't be fat or skinny. This is all Vince McMahon thinking, you know? So, and half of these, well, Otis, whatever. The Avocado, whatever, but Keith Lee should not be going to the Performance Center. Keith Lee has more talent in his pinky than half of these guys on the roster. So why are you sending that man back down to the roster? To PC. He can talk. He can definitely wrestle. So I don't know. I think, like I said it a few podcasts ago. I said it to you and I said it to our friend Jeremy. He's already tired of Keith Lee. He doesn't know what to do with him. That's why he's sending him back down. It's because, you know, Undertaker's out there. He's going to give, you know, big man knowledge to big men. But it just shows you're very, bro, hot and cold. And you're fumbling and stumbling over your product. I don't know. It just shows no direction. And I don't know, brother. How do you feel about it?
It kind of rubs me off a little bit the wrong way. And for this reason specifically, there are key names that are not mentioned in that expose that was sent out. Mm-hmm. You know, people like Braun Strowman, you know, one of your big men right there that basically does the same kind of match every time you see him. He's not being
in the same kind of, sorry for cutting you off, and he has the same kind of line.
Same promo. Like,
catch these hands. That's it.
So he's not getting called back down. Another person, Lars Sullivan, not being called back down when they really have nothing to do with the boy whatsoever. That guy gets like X-Pac heat where you don't want to see him on TV whatsoever. No story. His wrestling is pretty limited. All he has going for him is a bald head and a big beard. Other than that, no personality whatsoever. So why not send him down? And there's a mixed bag of feelings of what's happening. Some people are saying that these men are specifically going to get pushed in the next couple of months, so they want to get him in ring shape to be the next big guys. I don't see that happening. Another rumor is that it's because of weight cuts. They want to see people like Keith Lee. They want to see people like Otis lose 30 pounds before Royal Rumble. Another rumor going around is, like you just said, Vince lost faith in both Keith Lee and Otis and wants to see them change direction a little bit. So either way, man, it sounds stupid, bro. For a company that has grew with big men, Andre the Giant, you know, Hulk Hogan is considered a big man, 6'7", Taker, you know, King Kong Bundy, Bam Bam Bigelow.
And don't even go back too far. You got Big Show. You know what I'm saying? You even got Viscera. You was loving yourself some Viscera back then, brother. Yeah. You know?
Viscera did not have the best talent in the world, but you kept him on TV for years.
Exactly. So that's my thing. It's like you don't know where to go right now. You're fumbling and stumbling over your product. And my thing is, bro, stop with this indoctrination. I just get Kevin Owens vibes again. I know that Kevin Owens did not get a push because he's a husky dude. Why do you think when he had the United States straps, they put him in the suit to cover up his body? That's all it was, unfortunately. So he's very hot and cold, man. And these are dudes that you already saw. You knew Otis was a fat guy, but you called him up just to have fat jokes. That's why you put him in the Captain Insano with the fucking small lunchbox, just to have a joke. That's about it. I'm sure this guy gets kicks while he's backstage managing the pay-per-view or whatever it is. I'm sure he's just laughing hysterically at these people. So the joke is over, and now they're going back to the Performance Center. They will go down there, and they will be forgotten in time, honestly.
I do hope that Keith Lee makes it out of this okay. I believe he still has a chance to make it out of this okay. People like Davocado, I don't mind going back because he needs a character. People like Otis, maybe if you're going to try to do something, but here's another kicker as well, too. You had another big guy taller than him as well, too, which you're doing absolutely nothing with, Tucker. Tucker should be going to the Performance Center, even though he has pretty good wrestling credibilities. He's a guy that needs character, needs work on the mic, and whatnot, needs personality. He would have helped, Taker would have helped him greatly.
Honestly, I agree with you. And it was too early for splitting up Tucker and Otis. If he takes his tag team division serious, they should have been a solid, legitimate tag team to make a run for those titles. But no, he doesn't take his tag team division serious. So you split them up. This is what you get. Davocado. I don't mind Davocado. Like you said, Davocado is what? You're hot and cold. You're just like, you know, a destroyer. You need character development. I don't mind that. Keith Lee, I'm sure Keith Lee will come back up, but I guarantee you he'll come up in a big fucking Brodus Clay gimmick with a pimp coat and some shorties and dance.
The new Godfather.
I guarantee you, bro. I'm telling you, I see it. Yeah. Let's throw a pimp coat on him and call him, you know, Lee the Father or something.
Black magic.
Know, but there you go.
He's a magician now.
It can happen. It sucks, though.
It does suck.
But it can happen.
It does suck. Hopefully, they'll make it out of this okay. Hopefully, there are good things. But the way things have been going with WWE in 2020 and even before that, I just don't have that much faith on the product as I used to. As much as we want to because it's nostalgic and it reminds us of good memories of the past, right now, WWE is going down history as a failure, unfortunately. Yeah, they pull in 2 million viewers here and there. But at the end of the day, people tune out real quickly because there's nothing else to watch on a Monday or a Friday. So that's why you get 2 million fucking views.
You pull in 2 million views, but you pull in 2 million views with brainless sheeps. I'm sorry, I'll say it. I know it's very disrespectful and it's kind of hot, but you're pulling in 10 million views or whatever it is for people that you've indoctrinated that are marks that will sit here blindly defend WWE to the fucking last tooth and nail. That's what it is. But the real people tune out hella fast, like you said. So I've lost faith in the product. Do I want to see the product recover? Yes, I would, because it's very nostalgic. We grew up on WWE. We grew up with the Machos Man, the Ricky the Dragon Steamboats, the Ric Flairs, everybody, bro. We grew up on all this. But now where the product is at, it's pretty fucking pathetic, and they're fumbling and stumbling, and they don't know how to recover, in my opinion.
It is pretty disgusting what's happening in the WWE. You know, the leader in sports entertainment is now slowly becoming mm-hmm. last place little by little, and sad to say that. Mm-hmm. But that's really much the news right there. Let's get into the good stuff that happened over the weekend, man. You know, head-to-head, and I can say head-to-head, mm-hmm. two promotions that are seriously mm-hmm. still working with each other, AAA and Impact Wrestling, really went balls to the wall this weekend to provide some good shows for their core audiences. They were matched up against the mm-hmm. UFC's giant card, 256. If you guys want to hear the review on that one, go to the Kimura Chronicles. We have a review, our post show on UFC 256. Please do so. Kimura Chronicles, everywhere on podcast networks. Cheap plug.
Ooh, love it. I love it.
But they were head-to-head with the UFC. They also had the Super J Cup happening as well, too, in the midst of everything mm-hmm. for New Japan. So a heavy, heavy day for combat sports Saturday. Let's start with the hottest one. Triple Mania comes out strong. One of their strongest Triple Manias that I've seen in the last 5 years. It kind of felt like they had their shit together, even though some of the matches were a little kooky and it was a little strange, you know.
It was fun.
They had the whole Marvel Alliance thing going on with like Spider-Man and Captain America fighting each other. That was kind of fun as well, too.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. You know, you got La Púrpura, playing Thanos. You got Venenoide, this guy, what's his name? Venom. And then at the end of, was it the Omega match? Or what was, at the end of what match where we saw Miss Marvel come out? But it was a fun little gimmick. It was fun. It was entertaining. Triple Mania, you know, we know this is their WrestleMania. We know this got canceled because it was supposed to be held in August, I think it was, 22nd. It got pushed back because of the whole COVID pandemic and stuff. But it was very fun because we saw music, we saw entertainment, we saw Hugo get clapped with the guitar in the Laredo match. No, not even the Laredo match, the Pagano and Chessman match, which I was like, yo, why are you clapping this dude? Yeah, all over. This is fun. Like, it was just fun for our times. The times that we're living in, I enjoyed it. And I think it was in the bad card, man.
Bro, the whole card was hot from top to bottom. Three matches really stand out the most. You have the Lucha Bros defending their AAA World Tag Team Champions in a hell of a classic match, a three-way classic match. Can you elaborate a little bit more on just the excellence of Phoenix and how Phoenix and Pentagon Jr., you know, Pentagon Zero now, you know, are just so loved in Mexico, and how their aura is completely different than what we see in the United States?
I don't know. You're absolutely correct. This even goes with Kenny Omega. I think this is just like maybe the fan base out of the United States. When you go into Japan and you go to Mexico, you see these guys. They're kind of bigger than life, and it just resonates with just quick caveat, old school WWE. You would look at a Macho Man, you would look at a Hulk Hogan. These were characters that were larger than life, so these cultures still embody this. You remember Anderson and Gallows used to get taken out for like $8,000 stakes. Uh-huh. So these characters are larger than life, but you see the aura, like the Lucha Bros, Kenny Omega, they have that mystique in Mexico. And I just think it's out there, they can be who they genuinely are, because they know once they come to an American audience, maybe they have to tone it down a bit, or maybe they have to carry themselves a certain way. Unfortunately, they kind of circumcise their abilities to a certain extent, because when I was watching Phoenix yesterday, I was telling you in the chat, I was like, my God, why is Phoenix not bigger than when he should be in the States? And you were explaining to me the story when he was in Lucha Underground and stuff like that, with the rights, with the agents and the money. You know, if you want to elaborate with that, you can. But man, they just have this aura and they're beloved. I think these two dudes, I don't want to sound blasphemous, there's a few other names in Mexico that are big stars. Of course, you know, Mexico is prestigious with wrestling. But right now, modern age, I think, man, Pentagon Jr. and Phoenix, they're those torchbearers for modern wrestling in Mexico. They just move so fluently. Seeing them is just poetry in motion. One thing I always say, a tag team, what makes a tag team? What makes a phenomenal tag team? It's blood. They have to be brothers, and this is what makes them so phenomenal. They know each other since birth. You get what I'm saying? So when you see them in there, they trust each other. They already know a step ahead of what they're gonna do and stuff like that. And just seeing them yesterday in that phenomenal triple tag team match defending their straps, bro, it's so crazy that sometimes this is how big Phoenix is. Most of the time, sometimes you see Penta just leaving, and then Phoenix doing everything and working. That's how big he is, but he just carries it for both dudes. Eventually, you know, Penta comes back, but it, I don't know, man. They're so phenomenal, and they should be bigger in the States than what they are, honestly.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way as well, too. You know, I think they had a nice run in 2019 in AEW, you know, headlining cars with Young Bucks in that ladder match, which was insane itself. So, I mean, they have a nice, strong introduction, but it is that mystique. It is that larger-than-life attitude that I feel like the American audience, or just the American production team behind all professional wrestling right now, is lacking. That bigger than what the company is, bigger than what they should be. You know, all that should be like the mystique, the marvel, the glitz, the glamour. You know, the show. I feel like is missing.
Kind of.
Go ahead.
Sorry for cutting you off. Kind of like it's a crazy reference, but like you said, that mystique, that glamour. You know, luchadors, they have that mystique out there because, you know, a la Nacho Libre, when he saw Ramses, you know, Ramses was Ramses, everything to him. You get what I'm saying? He had the women, he had the cars, he had the luxury. That kind of, you don't see that over here in the States because of production and stuff like that. It lacks.
Well, that, and also too, like, the kayfabe is everything over there in Mexico. Like, people like Blue Demon Jr., who was also on this car as well too, has never been unmasked whatsoever in his 50 years of wrestling. And, you know, You see a guy like that one who no one knows his actual identity still. He's a guy who just literally takes 5 cabs just to get home so that way he's not followed.
But,
you know, they live the gimmick no matter what.
I mean, I get you, it's the gimmick, but to them, it's kind of like, I remember seeing a documentary where they were talking about what these masks mean. To them, it's basically the equivalent of beheading a person.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So that's why they're so sacred with these masks, and that's why Blue Demon has to take like 20 cabs just to go eat pan dulce, you know, like. so that's my thing. It's an aura, like you said, it's kayfabe. It's almost a religion to them, and out of the States, it's almost religious, you know. So, but sorry for cutting you off.
No, an amazing match, a second amazing match, of course. Kenny Omega in a I gotta say 4.5 or 5-star classic against the Laredo Kid. So much back and forth in this match. Kenny Omega, like Lucha Bros, is just a god when it comes to professional wrestling, and I can just imagine a crowd just really so indecisive on who to cheer for if there was a crowd there. Like, of course, there was no crowd and audience, you know, due to COVID-19 and whatnot. But just imagine this, a pro crowd for Laredo Kid taking on, you know, the Weddle, basically, from Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
But can wrestle his ass off. And like, that's the thing about Kenny Omega. If he's playing heel, the crowd still loves him because he can fucking put on a damn show.
Yeah.
And Laredo Kid, take nothing from that cat whatsoever. He went out there, Poison Ranas, Hurricane Ranas, Tope Suicidas, went out there just to put on a fucking performance and a half. So many near falls. And bro, just the announce team, so great calling this match as well too.
No, I agree with you. The announce team was phenomenal. They had a lot of hype. They had a lot of energy the whole event. But with this one, they knew, like you said, the Canadian Guero is coming in here to defend the strap. It's kind of like he has what should be Laredo Kid's. And so they just bumped that up. And, oh, man, like you said, easily 4.55. Kenny Omega is just a phenomenal wrestler. Laredo Kid, another phenomenal wrestler. These two guys went out there and tore the house down by every stretch of the imagination. They even jumped off freaking Bigfoot tires, but you know, that were on ringside and stuff like that, because I think Michael Nakazawa was with him, and then Elio del Vikingo was with Laredo Kid. So they went outside, they took this everywhere on the what do you call those, the barriers, you know. Kenny Omega throwing Laredo Kid over, dives outside. What I really did enjoy, which I was like, okay, what's up? I mean, he did hit the one-winged angel from the second rope, yes, but it's still fucking protected, bro. That move is just everywhere is where it goes. It's known as, you're not kicking out of this. It's gonna take a special person, a special storyline, a special moment for somebody to kick out of the one-winged angel. And that was awesome.
No, yeah, you're totally right. And I think what I loved about this is the story of Laredo Kid trying to counter every time Kenny went for the one-winged angel, whether it was a poison rana, whether it was a roll-up, whether it was some kind of combination, so that way he would not hit that one move that could cost him the match. So it came to the point where it came to the top rope and hit this beautiful One-Winged Angel. This was something where when we talk about our award show, we're talking about finishers or like that oh my god moment, that top rope or second rope, One-Winged Angel was just everything right there. So much room for error. And honestly, they just nailed that.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, like you said, so much room for error. That's what's so beautiful about wrestling as well. It's a dance. You have to trust your partner. And they definitely trust each other to pull a second rope or a top rope, One-Winged Angel. So it still protects it. It actually still protects Laredo Kid as well. Like, you had to go to the extremes to hit a second rope or a top rope, One-Winged Angel, to put me out. So it still helps Laredo Kid. And honestly, I would love to see these dudes go at it again after this phenomenal match.
Hell yeah. I think having a rubber match would be fantastic. I think even if you want to like make worlds kind of cross together, having, you know, a person like Laredo Kid show up on AEW and challenge Kenny Omega on live TV on TNT, that just opens up so much doors for Latino wrestling coming into the States again.
Oh, bro, I would love that. I would enjoy it. That's up to the AAA administration, but I think that would be phenomenal, and it would open a lot of eyes to some new wrestling, to the viewership out here in the States. So I would, bro, if Laredo Kid was to come out on an AEW, I would lose it, man. And like, hey, we got unfinished business, you know? Like, this is not over. Ah, phenomenal. But, I mean, great match, 5-star match, honestly.
Yeah, it is a fantastic match. I would love to see that happen, some kind of connections happening right there. In my opinion, I feel like the Art of Lucha Libre has taken a backseat to Japanese strong style wrestling over the last couple of years, and even now. So, in the last 5 years,
agreed,
it's really been that European strong style type of wrestling that's been showcased a lot. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because the fan base these days are more into the sports aspect of professional wrestling, which is cool, which is what the European strong style kind of gives you. But the theatrics that you see in New Japan Wrestling or All Japan Wrestling or Pro Wrestling Noah or DDT, all those promotions in Japan with the pageantry, the lights, the show, the glam, the seriousness, it all happens in Mexico as well too, south of the border. It all happens. We're looking at CMLL, we're looking at AAA, and going down the rosters right there. The pageantry's there, you know, the wrestling's there. It's a different style, but the style is just, it's captivating. It's emotional. There's so much emotions when it comes to Lucha Libre. And we can even talk about that in the main event, bro, in a freaking hardcore death battle.
Yes. The stipulation, Cabellera versus Cabellera, hair versus hair. You had Pagano taking on Chessman, bro. And like you said, this was a hardcore. I'm sorry.
No, go for it. No, I want you to take it.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, man. I was so looking forward to Triple Mania. This event was phenomenal. And the I like to say the co-main event, Kenny Omega, Laredo Kid, they tore the roof off, and here comes Pagano and Chessman, and they just finish obliterating the building. They literally fought everywhere, from the top ropes to the floor to the outside to the ring announcer getting clapped with the guitar. Tejano Jr., Lady Say was in there doing her thing. Bro, these dudes put everything, blood, sweat, and tears on the line. They both were busted up, a bloody mess, where you saw Pagano going to town on Chessman with like that silver tray, like that food tray. Oh man, when was it Chessman that I think he threw a Pagano through the table from the top rope to the outside? I was like, these dudes are you know what? And if you look at them, what I love about them is like, they're not the most technical wrestler. This was a hard hitting match. They said, we're going to throw technicality out the fucking window, and we're just going to go to town on each other, because, you know, they've been building up this rivalry since this event got canceled because of COVID. And they went out there, delivered. Honestly, this was, I would put this probably as one of my favorite matches of the year as well. That's how excellent this match was. And we saw Chessman losing to Pagano. You know, he had his haircut, but bro, and he got pulled out in the stretcher. That's how brutal of a match it was, but it was phenomenal, man.
Yeah, man. Honestly. Even like the guitar shot that you said, for former WWF, WWE Spanish announcer, Hugo Savinovich.
I say Hugo because I don't know his last, how to pronounce it. I was going to call him Hugo Sanchicha. So,
I respect the fact that he was talking semi-English to the crowd as well, too, whoever did tune in. I thought it was Vampiro Force, because they almost sound alike when they talk English. But almost
dude,
right.
Dude, I thought Vampiro was, yeah, and I thought Vampiro was playing the drums when that Molotov band was out. I was like, yo, is that Vampiro? My dad was like, no, I don't think that's Vampiro. I was like, oh, okay.
Epic match, you know, Chessman, Pagano, they went in, they stole the show. Not the most technical wrestling, but if you want a Texas catch can technical showdown, you got that with Laredo Kid and Kenny Omega. This match was balls to the wall, you know, lights out match-esque with Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega. Harder, more hardcore, more blood, sweat, tears. There's even a part where Pagano goes for a suicide dive, misses completely, hits a chair, and gets busted open. That was crazy.
Yeah, honestly, bro, you're absolutely correct. I forgot about that caveat. Yeah, that's how he got busted open. But yeah, he busted himself open. But like you said, very lights out match a la Jon Moxley Omega, taken up to a 10. So if you guys saw the Kenny Omega and Moxley match, this was taken up to a 10. So if you enjoyed that match, definitely check out the Triple Mania main event between Chessman and Pagano.
All right, turnbuckle slap for this one, buddy. I'm going to go for you first, man. I want to hear your opinion.
I really enjoyed this event and I was looking forward to it. It was a fun event, you know, COVID-19, this was fun. These wrestlers went out there, delivered for the fans, knowing the hardship we're in. So I'll give it a 2.5. Honestly. Right. Yeah, I will. Because alone with the main event and the Kenny and Laredo, bro, those matches were phenomenal. I did enjoy the whole, you know, Terol Púrpura and Venenoide and Arachno, you know, with the Marvel's gimmick. That was fun. What else did I like? The ladies' battle royal was kind of cool. Also, the Lucha Bros, that's another, you know, that's three fights right there out of seven that are amazing. So the first match was pretty decent as well. I'm not going to lie. Poder del Norte versus Dinetia y Maximo and the other dude. So I enjoyed it overall. So that's why I'll give it a 2.5.
I'm going to slap all three turnbuckles for this, man. Straight up, I think that I was pleasantly surprised. I was going into this with low expectations because the last few Triple Manias have been just abysmal. Like, they have no direction, whether it was backstage politics, whether it was lack of wrestlers in the event or whatnot. I'm not too sure. I can't explain. But this right here had the perfect mix of nostalgia. You got the matches with Blue Demon, you know, LA Park Jr. Yeah. You had... you know, a nice little change for the upcoming, like, new era of wrestlers, like Blue Demon Jr.'s son. You also have Octagon Jr. that was wrestling as well, too, in that triple threat tag team match as well, too. So a nice little, like, next generation level of what's going to happen in the coming years. So I enjoyed that. Laredo Kid and Kenny Omega, 4 to 5 stars right there. Lucha Bros, that's another, like, almost 4 stars tag team match. And then the hardcore match along with Pagano was just intense, crazy. The women had their spots. Yeah. Hell, what's her name? Lady Say taking that power bomb at the end too. Just having a mix of so many different things, like a sancocho, as I say, like a fucking salsa, like just a mix of so much good stuff that was happening in my face. And the best part of all, the accessibility. You could have watched this on Facebook. There were so many ways to watch this as well too that they gave to the audience, especially in this time right now where you're shelling out $50 here, $50 there. They gave this to you for free to watch. I loved it.
I agree with you. It is very deserving of a 3. You know, but to me, there was certain things that, like I said, the first, it was entertaining overall, but I'll go 2.5. That's as far as I could go, but it is deserving of a 3. Like, you make phenomenal points right now. I won't lie. And the fact that the accessibility, like, they told everybody, like you said, you know, you guys are out here sticking out $30 for Disney Premiere and this and that. We're giving you this across YouTube, Facebook, and I think there was another channel that they were giving it across, something called Space. I don't know if that's some West Coast or some, you know, channel over there, but they made it accessible for everybody. Like, hey, we're giving you our product for free. These guys went out there and tore the house down, honestly, for free. So it was a phenomenal event, I won't lie. Just a quick question that I wanted to ask you. Prior up to the event, we saw that AAA were hosting some events outside. Would this have been cool if it was outside, like with the fans in the cars?
Maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to see with rose-colored glasses right now what could have been. But if a few fans were in attendance, like a baseball stadium or something like that, where you could really maximize the social distancing aspect, maybe, possibly, but I think what they did with the elaborate entrances, with the pyrotechnics, with the the LED boards, I think it was enough to really captivate you to be entertained by this event. I think the good thing about AAA, and we'll get into Impact as well too, is that AAA looks larger than life. Like, even when you're looking at their arena in Mexico or anywhere they house their events, it's larger than life. It has history, it has stakes, it has something that captivates you with that nostalgic, that octagon type ring, just everything alone. The cheesy little advertisements in the back selling doo-doo paper, like all of it. It's fun, it's entertaining, and it just gives you that nostalgic feeling of you were watching this in the 90s or whatnot, or early 2000s. And that's what I love about the most. Like, so maybe if you would have had it in a baseball field or a stadium, like a soccer stadium, it probably would have killed it just a little bit for the atmosphere because this was such a contained beast and it worked out the way it did. I can't really see any other way right now.
All right. I was just wondering because I was like, I know they've hosted some outside events. Why was this inside? But it's probably like you said, maybe it was just, you know, their production. They're like, we're larger than life and we get that aspect like that. But I mean, overall, just to add a stamp to this phenomenal event, if you guys missed this, definitely go out and check this out and check out Triple Mania 28. It was fucking phenomenal. Like you said, Val, best one in years that I've seen. I enjoyed it. I've been getting the feeling to actually go back and rewatch this event. That's how good it was. So phenomenal.
Now heading back to the States, we got to see, you know, Impact do one of their monthly events. This wasn't really a pay-per-view. You could see this on Impact Plus. I believe a lot of times too. I think I discovered this, which makes me question my Impact Plus membership. You could have watched this for free on Impact Plus without having a membership. So that was pretty strange right there. I digress. I'm enjoying their little month-to-month shows. Even though a lot of them don't seem as significant as, let's say, a Slammiversary or a Bound for Glory, these little small shows still show some diversity. They kind of show that you could pull a giant, like, you could pull a small show with still higher stakes and still be entertained, in my opinion. I enjoyed, the show is called Final Resolution. It's their last show of 2020. And semi-interest around the wrestling board, around the wrestling world right now for this event. I think the only thing that people were really trying to figure out is if Kenny Omega was going to make an appearance or not, since he made an appearance on Impact the week prior. So you had that looming there. You had some fun little matches, honestly, that were first-timers as well, too. Like, headline, Chris Bay takes on the world champion, Rich Swann. In a fantastic match as well, too. We'll get into that. You had matches that were, you know, for the hardcore taste in you. Larry D taking on Tommy Dreamer in a nice little old-school hardcore match. And then you had your one-offs that seemed really weird but fun, too. Like Carl Anderson taking on Ethan Page in a one-on-one match. So that was kind of weird, but it just shows that the diversity of what tag team wrestling could do if they're pushed as a singles competitor. So I like that. How did you feel about Final Resolution going into it?
Like you said, these shows, these little monthly shows on Impact Plus, these little a la, I'm trying to find a word because I know WWE has done this. These little specials, hot and cold, but as of recently, you know, since I forgot the first one.
Honestly, Turning Point.
I forgot the name. Turning Point. There you go. Yeah, I was about to say. From Turning Point, because Turning Point felt like just a soup up Impact. But then Final Resolution, and I believe there was one more in between. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm just, you know.
Victory Road. Out.
But Victory Road. There you go. From Victory Road, they started turning it around a little bit, in my opinion. It didn't feel like a souped up. It felt more prestigious, almost pay-per-view-esque. And then Final Resolution, it was a phenomenal card. I mean, it had its moments where it had its gag matches, kind of like, you know, the Hernandez and the Falaba. So, but overall, it had, I feel like it had some storytelling to it, because you said Carl Anderson and Ethan Page. To me, what I saw there, I think they're testing Ethan Page out for a singles run. I may be wrong, but wait, there's more. I think they're really testing him out. That's why we're seeing this little you know, with him and Alexander Wolf, right?
That's not name. Wolf.
For that. No, that's not.
You leave Desmond so Wolf out of this.
But
Josh Alexander, I got you.
My name's today. Josh Alexander, yeah. But I see him all over. But I see that rub because I feel and at any moment I feel that Ethan Page is ready to break out as a single star, bro. He has everything. He has the charisma, he has the wrestling. Him and Carl Anderson probably was my favorite match of the night. I mean, I did enjoy, well, I had three favorite matches of the night, but that was one of my favorite matches of the night. I think that was a test for Ethan Page to see how he can hang as a solo competitor. But overall, it had his moments. We saw some returns. We saw Deonna Purrazzo still continue her dominance over the women's division with her technicality and her limb, you know, manipulation and stuff. So it was a fun event. It was a fun event. If you didn't want to watch Triple Mania, you had options. You had this or UFC. But whatever option you chose, Impact was great.
Yeah, you make phenomenal points. I think, you know, seeing Carl Anderson do a singles run right here, having a chance to just show his skills as a competitor was great. You had the nice little Kenny Omega rub as well too, as they had a little reunion in the back trailer, talking about the old days in New Japan, being part of the Bullet Club and wanting Carl Anderson to be the Carl Anderson of old, to be that machine gun Anderson. And you kind of saw it. You kind of saw it in this match. I was hoping for a little bit more of a dominant match for Carl Anderson with that hype, but I think you're right. I think they're really trying. Ethan Page, bro. All ego Ethan Page has been a stud since Evolved. Having classic matches with Darby Allin back in the day, like about, I want to say, 5 years prior. So, you know, it's cool to see him in the North. It's cool that that tag team has hit hard, hit home. And it's one of the best tag team acts Impact Wrestling has had in a long time. But I definitely see a lot more upside for Ethan Page than I do Josh Alexander, even though he's a stud as well too. But if they are going to split up, it's all the way up for Ethan Page.
Oh, it definitely is, man. And I see that. And as well, some fans are clamoring for it. A lot of fans want to see a singles run for Ethan Page, and he's phenomenal. So I did get Machine Gun Carl Anderson vibes. I won't lie. I enjoyed that. Out of the two, him and Gallows, I prefer Anderson any day of the week. I mean, they're great together, but as singles, I like to see Carl Anderson, and we got that. Maybe we might see, you know, this Machine Gun persona come back, because when they were teased to return, the GM's name, I'm so all over the place with the names today.
Scott DeMore.
I apologize, everybody. Scott DeMore, yeah, he was teasing it on the Impact. You know, mosquitoes are so big out here that you need a machine gun. So eventually, so who's to say that we're just probably going to get Kenny Omega a la Cleaner for AEW. We're going to get a Machine Gun Carl Anderson out here for Impact, which would be phenomenal. And it would do so much favors for him, the Good Brothers, and Impact in general. So that's why I said Final Resolution had a lot of storytelling's what ifs, like we said on the Kimura Chronicles UFC 256 review.
You know, you made a good point about the Deonna Purrazzo match. I thought it was an okay match, but the match that really surprised me the most throughout this event was the tag team women's match with Havoc and Nevaeh taking on the Sea Stars. I think all four of these ladies wrestled their fucking asses off. They had a very great competitive back and forth tag team match. They took this match as seriously as possible. This is what I mean about tag team wrestling with WWE compared to what it is anywhere else, even AEW. You know, if this was WWE, they would be making fat jokes with Nevaeh or of course Havoc as well, too, since she's the heavier out of both.
Havoc,
But no, like, you're looking at both these women, they use this as strengths. The fact that, you know, Havoc has these larger-than-life hips, she's ramming people, Vader bombing people, fucking Samoa dropping people, leg dropping people, and the technicality of Nevaeh is just awesome as well, too. This complements the big girl personality of Havoc. Mm-hmm. And then you have a legitimate tag team with the Sea Stars, Ashley Vox and Delmi Exo. These ladies just, they mesh so well, and they're a nice little bright spot for the future of 2021, in my opinion, for that tag team division.
I agree with you. That match was phenomenal. I did enjoy the cutter, that little sliding cutter from the rope between Havoc and Nevaeh. And the Sea Stars, like you said, Sea Stars is a breath of fresh air, because when you look at this female tag team division of Impact, you know, you have a lot of hard-hitting women, or you have, you know, Kira Hogan and Steel, Tasha Steele's at, you know, they're hard hitting as well. But then here comes C-Star, which kind of they're like, I would say the Bailey, and so I don't know if some people are uncomfortable with the name, but I apologize. You know, they're kind of like the Kylie Rae, the cheery, the go cheery girls. So it's a very breath fresh of air to see the C-Stars in there. Like you said, this was a phenomenal match. I'm just trying to go back. Havoc and Nevaeh are still in the tag team tournament, right? Okay, cool. Okay, so I can definitely see the straps going to them as well. If, you know, Jazz and this girl don't get Vin Reigns.
That ain't happening. I really feel like it's going to go down either Havoc and Nevaeh, or it's going to be Rosemary and Taya. But I really don't want that. I kind of do want Havoc and Nevaeh to really get in there and show what they're made of with those titles, because I think they can lead a tag team division in my eyes.
I agree with you, because I'm looking at them and I think they're due for it. I think they're due for it. So that's why I think they may get it, because they've been grinding. They've been busting their ass, Havoc and Nevaeh. But not saying carrying the division, because the division is stocked with teams, but you can tell they're a notch above a few of them. I thought it was going to go to Hogan and Steels, because they have the hype, the clout, as some people like to say. But honestly, the torchbearers for that and the hustlers and the workhorse are Havoc and Nevaeh.
Can I tell you my low point in this event?
Wait.
Go for it.
Can I guess? It wasn't the Hernandez match, right? Okay. The hardcore match between Dreamer and
I got what I wanted. That match.
Oh, okay. Because that match was that match is actually decent. Okay, so damn, one more guess and you can have at it. Dare I say Eric Young? Okay. So
the return of Manic taking on Rohit Raju.
You see, I was gonna say that. I was gonna say Manic, but I was like, nah, because I enjoyed the Manic match. Did I enjoy the return of Manic and him getting the win of Rohit? No, but the match was okay. But
no, I like that you like this match, and I appreciate that. Just me myself, I feel like we had something special with Rohit. Mm-hmm. It was something that we've seen before, but at the same time, it's a good spot for him. Being the chicken shit heel is not a bad thing sometimes, and I feel like when you beat the chicken shit heel, it should mean something. And the amount of times we've seen TJP have different gimmicks to take on Rohit just has been a little tiresome for me. I don't think even TJP is that great to carry that title right now. Not by wrestling ability, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying by personality and charisma. It's a fucking wet blanket in my eyes, bro. Like a fucking wet towel that's wrung out the dry sometimes. Yeah, you could do fucking 15 sharpshooters into STFs all you want, but if you still sound like fucking Davey Havoc from AFI 1999, very sad, weeping willows every fucking segment, like you're doing nothing for me whatsoever. Rohit at least was overdramatic and insane, but it worked for his character, though.
No, I get you. I agree with you. I enjoyed the match, but it should have been Rohit going over, definitely, because Rohit was all very controversial. People were very cold on Rohit, but in my eyes, and everybody has seen, you've seen it as well, you saw this evolution of Rohit, where at first, he, you know, kind of like the champion makes a strap makes a person, stuff like that. You know, the strap was kind of lost, but as months went by with this Rohit open challenge, with him pulling the chicken shit heel stuff, and with him getting more confident, you saw it. Then he just started talking like, I'm the best Indian wrestler in the game right now. I'm giving people chances out here to do this, to come and try to take my X Division title away. And then you start doing the stupid shit with TJP. Oh, if there was only three letters and... He shouldn't have gone over, bro. This kind of sucks, and this kind of hurt Rohit, in my opinion, because now where does Rohit go from here? He's just another person lost in the sauce in the X Division strap. I mean, division. So it sucked. That's the only blemish that I have for the event, like you said.
Yeah, and then the character of Mang really doesn't do anything for me anyway. If you look at the history of that character, the only reason why that character exists is because of the fact that he was suicide before, and they had a problem saying suicide live on TV, so they changed the name from suicide to Manic.
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth happened over there. Nothing really huge with that, in my opinion. And if you look down the line, I really feel like this would have worked out to make a baby face or like somehow make somebody bigger than what they are. Let's say a Heath Slater, for example. I would not mind seeing Heath Slater try to go for an X Division run against Rohit. Do they scream like X Division stars? No, they're not high flying. They're not doing moonsaults here or there. But it would be interesting for a babyface like Heath Slater to kind of go for that title as well too against a chicken shit heel like Rohit. It would have meant something.
Yeah, I agree with you because, you know, you got right now at this point, the X Division should be kind of the division that's carrying your organization to a certain extent, because right now you got Rich Swann honestly having some matches that don't mean really much, in my opinion, or bringing credibility to the title. I mean, the match was phenomenal with him and Chris Bay, but does it bring a little bit of credibility as him as a champion? No, not really. Now you got Kenny Omega in the sauce. Obviously, we saw Moose come out and hand him the strap, his strap back. So Moose is in the sauce, but fuck that. Give me two belts, Moose, bro. Like, so this could be the division where you can just have fun and incorporate these people, like you said, a la Heath Slater, Rohit, maybe TJP, maybe even incorporate some Brian Myers, bro. Throw Brian Myers in here.
Brian Myers in there. Even with this whole AEW supposal invasion happening, you could see different stars from AEW come by. Brian Pillman Jr., you know, Ricky Starks. Yeah. So many people can go in there and just have fun with that too.
Yeah, I agree with you. This should be their division that they can have fun, bring some people over. This can be their TNT championship. You know, you can start this little rivalry. Yeah, I have the TNT championship, but we got the best one, the X division. Blah, blah. Talk about the prestige. Talk about the matches, the great history. And then just have people come challenge. Because right now, the heavyweights and everything, the big marquee belts, I feel like they're stagnant. Not Moose, because I love Moose. Moose is doing his thing. But I'm just saying, with the interjection of Kenny Omega, you know, so this division... maybe he's getting a little bit held up with Manic right now, because I agree with you. Manic cannot talk for shit. He can wrestle his ass off. Well, TJP, he can wrestle his ass off. Well, but
you mentioned some good points about the heavyweight championship. Let's talk about that. World Heavyweight Championship is on the line with Chris Bay looking to get one strap for himself against your boy Rich Swann. Very competitive match. They both have similar styles, but number one, I love the promo from Chris Bay teaching you what the art of finesse was. I thought that was phenomenal. The match itself, pretty damn awesome as well, too. Counter for counter, trying to do their best to outdo each other, to out-finesse each other. That was the story in this match, and I love that. From top to bottom, I think these boys went out there and stole the show when it comes to a wrestling match. But you hit the nail right in the head. What does it mean for Rich Swann? Cool, you beat Chris Bay. I love Chris Bay. We love Chris Bay here. But is Chris Bay top five, top three in Impact Wrestling as a person to beat? Not really. Like, if you would have maybe somehow continued the feud of Eric Young, which I feel like he dropped that real fast, or confused. Right?
Right? I agree. Yeah, I agree. The feud with Eric Young just dissolved super fast.
Or even kept the rivalry with Sami Callihan. That's still a credible feud right there to keep on going. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're just doing this like kind of what Eddie Edwards was doing when he was champion. Here's a flavor of the week contender, and I'm going to go beat them. And I get it. There's not a lot you can do right there. You're trying your best with what you have right now. But at the end of the day, Rich Swann to me still does not feel like a world champion. And a person that still has that, I'm going to steal Bay's word, that finesse, comes out at the end of the match and looks like a superstar. Not because of his height, not because of, you know, his build or anything of that nature, or his dress, just the personality and the gimmick. He looks like Moose looks like he believes in Moose. When I look at Moose, he looks like he is the Black Ric Flair. Like, comes out shiny, you know, stunting. It's all about me. No matter what, I take what I want. Wakanda style. I take what I want right now. Let's go. Like, you believe that personality, Kingpin style, from Moose. I can't tell you I believe anything from Rich Swann whatsoever.
No, I agree with you, because this run for Rich Swann hasn't really been impactful. It hasn't elevated him. And like you said, even when Chris Bay cut the promo with him in the back, Chris Bay looked phenomenal. Rich Swann, okay, oh, it's Chris Bay and and that guy. You get what I'm saying? I got those vibes. And then here comes Moose, like you said, larger than life. Moose, definitely fucking larger than Impact. He has that in his head. He knows he's the ish. So that's what I love about Moose. And he comes out there and he commands the mic. He commands the cam. He commands everything. Like you said, a la Black Ric Flair doing his thing. And bro, when he gave him the strap, I just like, okay, so are we going to get two fucking belts?
That's what Moose? I want. Like, we need that.
Thank you. Give me that. That's what I said. I was like, bro, give me that. That belt would get some legitimate credibility around his shoulder, and that would be so fucking phenomenal. And just strap that rocket on Moose and let loose already, because I mean, they're, you see them, but it's not full blown like ahead go to town Moose, you know. So this can be that moment. And honestly, I love Rishwan, cool cat, chill dude. I like his style to a certain extent, but I think we got the good match, because I was going to ask you about that. I think we got the good match between him and Chris Bay, because one, their styles complement. There's not a lot of styles that complement with Rich Swann, and I also feel like maybe he cannot lead
a
match.
I agree with that.
Do you agree or disagree with that? And I think that's what it is. So honestly, they gave him his due. They gave him his a la Mark Henry run. Maybe extended a tad bit, but pulled the plug already, and let's strap the rocket on Moose. Honestly.
Same here. I'm all in Moose all the way. The only reason why I don't think it's even going to happen is because we have this Kenny Omega thing happening, which is why I kind of was on the fence with the whole Impact and AEW and possibly Kenny Omega trying to get that title, was because of the fact that as much as I would love to see Kenny Omega take that strap and be like the mega champion of everything, I kind of feel like Moose deserves that spot.
He does, but if played well, maybe this is just me being the optimistic, but if played well, this can be a beautiful champion versus champion triple threat for all the marbles, because obviously AEW is not going to lose their strap, but you know, let's just kind of say for all the marbles, and it can work well, and this could just be the coronation of Moose. I get your point, and I agree with you. Omega coming out here will kind of stunt and hinder this, but if worked tastefully, it can be a triple threat, and Moose can have
it. I would love it, but I need to see it before I can believe it, man. That's one of those things where seeing is believing, and I need to see that happen. And I'd be happy, bro.
Yeah, I would be happy as well. Like, that would be phenomenal. And I would love it, bro. Like I said, Ethan Page or Moose, let's go to town. My question to you is, you were talking about moving away from rivalries, moving away with the Eric Young and the Rich Swann. How did you feel? It was a good match. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed it. I'm not trying to shit on it. But the stage where Eddie Edwards is at right now, we saw him in an intergender mixed match. And I feel that the bigger picture is him and Sami Callihan. I think some pay-per-view down the line, maybe in 2020, we will have an ultimate, you know, conclusion to this rivalry between Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan. How did you feel about this match? And the state that Eddie Edwards is kind of in right now, lingering, you know?
Because Eddie Edwards is better than a good hand. He is one of the faces of that company, and he should be treated that way. And Sami Callihan, I feel like, is above this match as well, too. We already did it before. It has a lot of controversy for it, and I think the controversy brought new eyes to Impact Wrestling. So, been there, done that. For them to go back to this kind of feels like, well, we don't want to lose anybody's place right now in Impact, and we want to keep you guys kind of relevant. So, hey, Sami, let's get back to the Eddie Edwards feud and see what happens. I believe this still be great. I think they'll have classic matches down the line, especially at Hard to Kill, but which is their next pay-per-view. But at the end of the day, I kind of want to see something different for Eddie, man. Like, go out there and make some new stars. Like, you're at that position right now where you're almost a locker room leader. So you should be having these matches with younger talent. The thing about it is, I'm not sure how much younger talent Impact has right now. I think they lost a lot of their steam with the Rascals. The Rascals were their launching point for new talent.
Agreed. They lost the Rascals, so that hurt them. We don't know what kind of locker room they have. I feel they don't have that much young talent in there. And you're absolutely correct, because that's the vibes that I got. I got, you're a locker room leader. You're supposed to be imparting. You're supposed to kind of like just saying, let's say, you know, you're supposed to be the Jericho right now. Show this new young talent of crop. Push this new crop of talent. And because if it wasn't a joke match, but I got those vibes. He made Caleb with a K look phenomenal. You know,
but I wouldn't call Caleb with a K new talent. It's tough.
I wouldn't. Yeah. But whatever it was, that's the vibes that I got. Like you said, he's the locker room leader because Caleb with a K was looking.
But even with that match, that's the draw. That match was more of a showcase for Emma too. So not Emma. Look at me, Tennille Dashwood. So you know,
I always get Emma vibes.
Yeah. So you know, Tennille Dashwood and what's the wife's name? Alicia Edwards. It was a showcase for them.
Well, Alicia Edwards. But I. Unpopular opinion. I really don't care, but Emma, Tennille Dashwood, I just don't see the hype.
That's why I don't see it. She's at right now.
Agreed. I think that's where she's at, and doing this stupid gimmick, not getting farther than where she possibly could have been or where they were trying to push her. I don't see it. Her wrestling subpar, her character subpar. She doesn't command presence on the mic. People actually disrespect Deonna Purrazzo for sounding like she's whining, but look at Emma. Emma just sounds like she's a fucking bass head that took a rip from a bong, bro. Like, so I don't see it. It was a showcase for her, yes, but did it impress this guy here?
You know who I have a soft spot for? I have a soft spot for Alicia Edwards' mic skills because it's like non-existent, but she's like a small little puppy trying, and like the hood comes out of her too much.
Yes, that's what I love about it. You were supposed to beat it. Like, what are you talking about?
It's like I'm watching the perfect storm all over again.
Yes, bro. Yeah. I will not lie to you, man. Her mic skills are non-existent, but she goes out there a la Brandon Fraser.
Yes, she does. 100%. You know? And I have to admire it. Like, she does better than TJP. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely correct. Yeah, I give her that.
Let me show you
bro.
A TJP promo right now. Hey, Nintendo? No, me either. Switch. Title shot? Sure. That's it. That's the range you're getting.
Bro, I agree. He's very bland, bro. Like, he reminds me of the guard at Scott Pilgrim. Password. I don't know what it is, bro. Like, you look at him, visually, you look at him. Wow, okay, this dude probably has charisma coming out the wazoo. No. But he doesn't. It's one of the few
things that WWE got right. They gave him everything you could give a person to succeed, and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah. It's fucking the first Cruiserweight champ.
The 8-bit music.
The phenomenal... Yes, the phenomenal 8-bit music. Everything. They put him multiple times on spots. And they gave him the light, bro. They said, run with it, but no charisma, no personality.
So let's hear it right now. We're going to give this vet turnbuckle taps right here. I'll go first.
Yeah.
I'm taking everything into this. And the biggest thing that's, it doesn't bother me, but it does. And I know we talked about this in the past. I know it doesn't bother you that much, but production does mean a lot to me. And at this stage of the game, I feel like Impact, that's their worst quality right now, is the production value or lack of it. I like that it's nice and simple, but I feel like some way, somehow, they need to evolve in some way possible to kind of stay, not want to say relevant, but afloat.
Afloat.
Stay afloat. While everybody else is doing innovative things, and why they don't have the money to do a Thunderdome, or maybe don't have extras in a roster to have extras in the front row audience, they should try to do something, because at the end of the day, it kind of just seems like they're wrestling for no one. And I hate that feeling sometimes, because I want them to mean something. I want reactions somehow. I want something to turn out with big stakes. Like, let's say if a Sting moment were to happen to Impact Wrestling, it would just fall flat because literally no one's there. It's like a warehouse full of crickets. So it kind of sucks on that side. But other than that, I think the wrestling was pretty solid. And for a throwaway kind of event, for a last event, I'm going to give it a solid... I'm going to give this... I'm going to be mean. 1.5.
1.5. Mm-hmm. That's fucked up. Oh my god, damn. Just that's just based off
production. And I feel like the match quality, while it was okay, I feel like they really kind of rested their prunes on that Chris Bay and Rich Swann match. Because other than that, like, I feel like they really could have won in. I feel like the Carl Anderson match was a great match. But, like, did it make me say three stars straight up? Nah, it didn't. So, like, maybe if the storylines would have just progressed a little bit more. I think that's their issue, too, is that the storylines fall flat. It's so fast. Everything goes so fucking fast. I think the only consistent storylines they really have right now are kind of like ones that are jokes. Like, you look at the Larry D and fucking Tommy Dreamer one. You look at the Manic shit. And you look at the Deonna Purrazzo, where she has to fight every supernatural entity now. I feel like, okay, well, give me some competitiveness now. Give me some stakes. Give me some real fucking heels out there. And the only real heel I saw was Moose, and he didn't even wrestle.
That's facts. That's facts. You're absolutely correct. Hey, that's how you feel. That's how you feel. It's better than one. So, you know what? After your one, I thought I was going to be an asshole, honestly. I was like, oof, this guy's probably going to give it like a 2.5 or some shit like that. But, like you said, production does hurt it because I was listening to the interaction. I wouldn't say it's Josh Matthews. But I wouldn't say it's Madison Rayne either. I would say it's that feeling that they're wrestling for nobody. I think if they had a crowd, or if I won't say TV time because they do have the TV time, but if they had a crowd maybe, or if it has something for maybe the table to get inspired for, kind of like when the Kenny Omega came out on Tuesday, like you said, yo, Josh Matthews in rare form tonight. So, maybe that's what it could be. They're just like, okay, we're going to give it this way because this is the problem. Definitely, the table has to change. The commentary table has to change. I don't mind Josh Matthews, but I say, this is just me. I'm just a podcaster here with you. I don't run the company, but I say this is the time where you pull Madison Rayne off and you give the mic over to Don Callis. For what you're trying to do with the whole Kenny Omega jumping around, AEW, the relationships, this will be fresh and it'll be prevalent on people's mind. Don Callis, Kenny Omega. So I think it's time to put Don Callis on the mic. He's phenomenal alone, you know, as he is with him and Josh Matthews, but to add more to that, Kenny Omega jumping around, definitely Don Callis. I agree with you.
You know, I would like Don Callis, but I think he's so much above that commentary booth right now that I'm not too sure if it'll hurt him to be overexposed the way he is now. So, but let me pitch this to you. AEW has been talking about that second show to hit 2021, right? Like somehow, some way they're going to hit that second show that they want to produce with a different announced team. A lot of people have been speculating two people that are going to get into that. I'll cancel one out because she's preggo right now. Maybe afterwards, she can pray a shine. Renee Paquette, Renee Young, she's, I say, out of the picture right now. But the second person, and he will outshine fucking, he will outshine Josh Matthews. But maybe somehow they'll complement each other. Bro, Mauro Ranallo would be fucking fantastic.
He would, bro.
You don't need an audience. He will give you the audience vibe.
You don't. This guy is the one man band of commentators team, bro. He can run the show by himself. I feel sometimes that people really don't wrap their mind around and grasp and enjoy the beauty and the art that this guy does on the mic. I feel he's so underappreciated as a commentator. And you're absolutely correct. I would love to see a Mauro. You know, he would outshine anybody. He outshines anybody, in my opinion. And he would outshine Josh Matthews, bro. Just flat out, hands down.
Ooh. And I got something to say for the pro wrestling community right now, because y'all a bunch of disgusting pieces of shit sometimes. I'll say it real quick. The interview he had with John Pollock at Post Wrestling, about how he left WWE and the terms that he left on and his mental state and how hard it is to deal with mental instability sometimes, being bipolar. The amount of backlash and negativity from the pro wrestling community. I won't say all of it, but I want to say a good 75% of it. I'll be bold enough to say that right now, because y'all a bunch of bastards sometimes. The amount of negativity that you give this man, saying, oh, he's just whining. He turned down a lucrative contract and millions of dollars because he feels sad some days, because he feels bullied some days. Y'all are pieces of fucking shit. Like, I don't wish that fucking mental instability on you guys whatsoever, because I don't think you deserve that. I think y'all deserve so much worse. But to peg somebody on and throw disrespectful and hurtful comments because of a situation that you personally don't feel educated about, or are not educated about, or you just don't have that in your lifestyle whatsoever, go fuck yourself, bro. All of y'all. Like, I don't get it. This is not a new millennial thing or Gen X thing or Gen Z thing. This is not something where, oh, you need to be machismo in the wrestling world. Nah, fuckers. Like, shit's real. People fucking kill themselves every damn day. Mental instability is a hard fucking thing to go by. I deal with it. I won't shout out people's names, but I deal with it. Sometimes I'm hot, sometimes I'm cold. And when I'm not feeling shit whatsoever in my life, I fucking deal with that shit as well too, those moral dilemmas. So I can imagine someone who looks at criticism and critiques and with the utmost precision, like everything that he looks at when it comes to critiques affects him. I can relate with that. So fuck y'all. Like, that shit's just disgusting.
It is. It is. The, like you said, we won't sit here and say all the community, but a majority of the community, 80%. I would even say as far as to 85%. I would stretch it to a 90%, because you see it. And for you to come here, what makes you God? What makes you better than this guy? Just because you don't deal with, you know, mental instability. This shit is real. Bro, half of these people that sit here behind the fucking computer, they would fucking shit themselves with one bad day of mental instability. They can't handle that shit. And for them to attack somebody when this was the craft that saved their life, because I saw the documentary. Yep. I'm sure you saw it as well, because we love Mauro. Commentary saved his life. And for you to sit here and say, oh, he just feels sad someday. Nah, bro. You don't know what that is. I'll own it. Just like, I don't give a fuck, bro. You know, I don't care anybody's judgment. I'll own it. When you sit here and you just get a fucking little panic attack, an anxiety attack, 3 a.m, that you don't know what the fuck to do with yourself, not a lot of people can handle that shit, bro. Not many people. And like you said, it's fucking sad for somebody to say that shit, bro, to tomorrow, especially when he's, you got, bro, you got the Jim Rosses, you got the fucking Joey Styles, and he's up there with all these people. And leaps and bounds and phenomenal. And it's just crappy at the age that we're living in, where people sit here, kind of like Mike Tyson said, that y'all act like y'all won't get punched in the face because you're behind a fucking computer screen. You get what I'm saying? It's just a crappy community. It's a crappy community. And every time I think about it, I think about Kylie Rae. I think about the disrespect that they gave to Bellas. And I'm sorry that I'm ranting. The disrespect they gave to the Bellas. The disrespect they gave to Paige recently. The disrespect that fucking, God rest her soul. And it fucking irks me, bro, because she would have been a stud right now. Hannah Kimura. People just want to get on social media because your life is miserable, probably because you got a small dick and you can't live with it. So you're just going to go fucking disrespect these women, these guys, these wrestlers, bro. Go do something with yourself, man. Go play fucking World of Warcraft. Up. You know, like,
keep plugs to the podcast right now, Pop Culture Fanatics. I have a special on Mauro Ryles' documentary, the Rock and Rolla documentary. That's all there as well too. So if you guys want to hear my thoughts on that, hit it with the Pop Culture Fanatics. But bro, I agree with your sentiments.
Like, thank you, sir. And I agree with yours as well. You know, because it's terrible. And but to get back to it, I would love to see Mauro, because Mauro outshines anybody. A three-man booth, he outshines it. And like you said, he's the one-man band. He'll give you the sound effects plus the crowd's sound effect plus the knowledge. That's what I love. That's why I love Excalibur. These people also drop knowledge. This is everything to them. It's so beautiful hearing them on the mic, bro. It's art. kind of like I said about the Lucha Bros in the beginning, it's art, man. And I love it. I love it. And like you said, this is a guy that, you know, because I was reading it because you posted it, and he gets in the zone. That's just how much it means to him, because this was his saving grace. So he goes out there and gives it 110%. Everything. Like, you know, like you said with the podcast, that you get in your zone. That's how you have to be for your craft. You just can't half-ass it. And for somebody to shit on him, but I'll get back to it. I want to see Marlon, man, honestly.
I give my 1.5. What do you give then?
I'll be a little bit generous, and I'll give it a 2. You know, I'll give it 2 slaps on the turnbuckle, because while I did enjoy the Manic, I did not like the result. You know, Rohit has some spots, Manic has some spots as well. The Chris Bay and the Rich Swan was cool. I also give it the 2 because I did enjoy that Moose. I want to see where that goes. Moose coming out, giving Rich Swan his belt. The main event really did just bug me. Cause I dislike those Rich Swan. Those little karate kicks that he, bro, I dislike those with a passion, man. They're hella stupid, brother. OD stupid. So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I give it a 2 because also I did enjoy the Carl Anderson and the Ethan Page, because I feel that was testing waters for Ethan Page, and he shined because he's a fucking phenomenal wrestler. I did enjoy the Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer's out here living his best life, bro. He's out here living his best life. One day he's detective, one day he's fucking rinsing your ass in a hardcore match, which I enjoyed, because bro, Tommy Dreamer, man, you're not listening to this, but shout out to you, bro, for still being in the game and hanging with some of these young cats, even though you had to fucking huff and puff to put the table in the ring, bro.
That's a New York boy shit right puff there, so hell yeah.
My son ate too many cannolis before the match. Also, he is another person that obviously misses the crowd, because these entertainers feed off of the crowd. It's symbiotic. And when he went for that table and he gave it that little fake table,
forgot about that.
I was like, Tommy Dreamer. Yeah. I was like, Tommy Dreamer, you were everything right now. This match is everything right now. We saw fucking Romero go through a table, devastate a table, bro. So honestly, it was fun. But I would have to give it a 2. I'll give it a 2, man. Honestly, it wasn't better than Triple Mania, but it was
entertaining. Hell yeah, hell yeah. You guys tuned in. We got some results from the Triple. Oh, it was gonna be Triple. I mean, the New Japan. El Fantasmo wins the Super J Cup 2 times back to back. From 2019 to 2020, and will face Takahashi at Wrestle Kingdom 15. How do you feel about that? Is that something that you were kind of hoping for? Were you looking for some new blood, like a Chris Bay, like an ACH?
Yeah, I was actually looking for some new blood, bro. I mean, I was a little disappointed with the result, because if you look at this stellar lineup, we've been posting Super J Cup since it was first announced, with these announcers, like you said, Chris Bay, TJ,
ACH, Leo Rush.
ACH, yeah, Leo Rush. I forgot to point Leon Ruff, bro. Like, you get what I'm saying? So I thought immediately, one of them had to win it, bro. One of them. We saw Chris Bay advancing to the second round. I was like, okay, I have high hopes for Chris Bay. But I was really hoping for
some new blood. Yeah, same here. I mean, I think they went with a safe bet, something that they know that when they go into Wrestle Kingdom, they're going to have a stellar match. I think that's what they're banking on right now. They don't want to take too many risks. They want to make sure that if they're going to go into Wrestle Kingdom without a crowd, without any guarantees right now, they want to go somewhere safe. So I understand that. But I mean, this is the type of year where you kind of go balls to the wall. You kind of just throw different things out there and see what sticks.
Yeah.
You did it with Evil. Did Evil stick? Not really. But I mean, it's not bad. It's not a decision you made. It's a decision you made.
A lot of people actually got behind it.
I was like, why not? This random fucking Grim Reaper wannabe Evil wins the heavyweight championship. Sure. No problem.
But I agree with you. A lot of people got behind it, but they just pulled the strap on it real quick.
It is weird too, because I would love to see an ACH, a Chris Bay. I think right now, yeah. Chris Bay is on the cusp of something. What it is, I don't know what it is, but he's like, he's almost to the point where he has the whole package together. It's just one thing that's missing. Maybe it is a manager. Maybe it's just someone like a hype man, just to hype him up, just to be like, ooh, what do you think it is?
Nah.
It's true. It is.
He hypes himself up. He hypes himself up.
The faction?
Maybe a faction. I think we need to see, not a manager, but we need to see interaction with another person. Maybe a faction would be phenomenal for him, because we would see character development. We would see more of the finesser. We can see him play more stuff, be more different, as opposed to just, all right, spotlight's on me. You get what I'm saying? He commands the spotlight. I'm not saying he shouldn't belong in the spotlight. He belongs in the spotlight. But when you're around the faction and when you're around other people, more personalities, different aspects come out and stuff like that, and you can play around more. So I think a faction. And also I think maybe somebody just pulling the trigger on him, seeing maybe what we see in him and saying, you know what, I'm gonna give this young man a chance, because he is on the verge of something, and he's working and he's grinding. It's a domino effect. But I think a faction is way better.
Yeah,
than
I really feel manager. Like he needs the same Honestly. Personality to kind of vibe with, that way it all kind of comes together too. I mean, he had somebody in the indies of the name of Sway mm-hmm. Thompson. I won't give him that much clout because he is has a whole bunch of sexual allegations against him as well too, but it was a kind of the same fucking personality kind of vibing with him in the indies that worked with really well. Maybe like in an alternate dimension, bro, if Rich Swann was the heel, him and Rich Swann would be a fucking great tag team, even with Willie Mack there as all heels. I think they would have been just swagged up all day, like just glistening. Like, I can look at fucking Willie Mack as the Rick Ross out of that group and looking hella fucking fresh.
Dead
cigar
ass,
just coming in, like, now, what up?
Word, from now on, straight call me Chocolate Thunder. That's it. Nah, ain't no more Willie Mack. Willie Mack died. Like, at the day, the new man throw. Bear with me. This is just me spitballing and playing sandbox in my own imagination, in my world. Like you said, if Rich Swann, I would love to see this. Like you said, if Rich Swann was the heel, let's put Rich Swann. I mean, even though he's big, but just bear with me. And I'm just going based on the conversation that we had where they fucked up Hurt Business.
Yeah.
You know where, you can kind of see where I'm going with this. Let's just say you throw together Chocolate Thunder, you throw Rich Swann, which I think a heel Rich Swann would actually be better in ring mm-hmm. than a face Rich Swann, and it would do him wonders. Pair him up with Chris Bay. Then you got the larger than life character, Mr. Kingpin himself, Moose, and just have these dudes go to town with a fucking stable like Hurt Business, bro. I think all of them fucking just. I know you're gonna say Moose, I think it'd be phenomenal.
And I say this, I think honestly. We may see those writing on the wall already. We may see the writing on the wall. Now let me take you for a second on a little trip into the future, possibly. We already saw the lines being crossed last Tuesday at Impact, where Rich Swann wanted to speak to Kenny Omega, champion to champion. He was on the list, and he felt disrespected. Yep. Right there is the seeds of dissension. Mm-hmm. Like, how are you going to have somebody that's an A-lister on my show, and I can't fucking drive with him, I can't chill with him, be able to disrespect me, the champion, like that? I already see the seeds of a heel Rich Swann happening. I get no respect. I'm the champion. I worked my ass off, broken leg, been out for a year, and this is how y'all treat me for somebody else? For this white dude to come up in my fucking place and be treated like a king, and I can't fucking be treated? Bro. And then you have Moose just strolling along. You see, I've been telling you all along, the only way to follow, the only one to follow, is the true champion of Impact Wrestling. Me.
Yeah, bro. He gave him the title last night. He didn't come off as I'm challenging you, kind of like I want to help you. I want to change your narrative, maybe. You get what I'm saying? So that I agree with you. Maybe we can see this storyline coming, and it would be phenomenal. I would love that, bro. I would love that. It would be so much fun.
You need it. You need it. But then again, at the same time, you need to start building some baby faces. You kind of have to sign some new fresh faces as well too. There's not a lot of fresh faces out there. They're all being fucking taken either by AEW, NWA, or fucking WWE.
They fucked up when they let the Rascals go. I don't know what happened there, bro. The Rascals were groomed to be that young, fresh crop, like you said, and the Rascals
money talks, though, bro. Money talks. We're safe.
So, yeah, unfortunately, money talks. Like we said, money makes the world go round, when we said in the TKC podcast, well, another cheap plug.
Two-thirds of them. But, because remember, Trey Miguel, still not signed.
Trey Miguel, he's still not signed, so... I call me crazy, but maybe I say make a run for Trey Miguel to try to bring him back, bro. Because they were kind of testing him with Moose in those single matches, even though Moose was just obliterating him, but it was the wrong opponent. So maybe make a run for him, but definitely build up Heath Slater. I mean, I like Brian Myers as a heel. I think it's phenomenal for him. But work on Heath Slater. That's what they should do right now and bring back some Trey Miguel. But Wrestle Kingdom is 21 days away from today. I'm fucking hyped. I can't wait for Wrestle Kingdom, but it should
have been. We have Wrestle Kingdom coming up. We have TLC 1 week away as well, too, of the day. So we have that coming up. I know that's going to be a throwaway show. We're not going to really pay too much mind to it. But as we do on the podcast, we do it for the podcast. So we're going to go ahead and review that show as well, too. Humbly as well.
Unfortunately as well.
Now those boys are gonna hurt themselves. Those boys and girls are gonna hurt themselves in these type of matches, and I feel bad because no one's gonna remember TLC 2020 whatsoever. So
about it, I think everything right now for 2020 since WrestleMania for WWE is just a blur.
I think the only good thing that probably came out was heel Roman Reigns, the Jey Uso spot, and some good NXT stuff. Like, other than that, WWE, fuck that shit.
Hey, War Games. Yeah, you're absolute Shotzi Blackheart. Yeah, but I agree with you. Heel Roman Reigns, Jey Uso. But you're already straying by putting Kevin Owens in here, because that means you already don't know how farther to extend the storyline. You know what I'm saying? And it's already getting a bit stale. How many times are we going to see Jey Uso get the shit kicked out of him?
Does get tiring. It kind of gets irrelevant after a while as well. And then now with the whole looming
aspect
over here in the background, oh, the fans don't respect us like they used to. Oh, they don't respect my title reign.
They don't... Yeah, I'm so mad. They don't respect me because I ran my head in the fucking apron in the bowl and I knocked myself out. Move next.
Bro, but I mean, they're definitely going to make a run at Goldberg. They're definitely going to try to make a run at Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar said he's interested in coming back. So, but whoever gets him has to dish out the big bucks. With Sting coming out in AEW?
Can you blame Goldberg for that? But let's be real for a second. Dude is living his best life. Anytime he shows up, he either wins a title or has a big match. So, like, and he's getting paid millions of dollars to be 50 years old and throwing spears. So, like, I can't be so mad at him, because who would say no to that? But shut your mouth when it comes to people don't respect you or don't respect the wrestling game. Because at the end of the day, you didn't respect the wrestling game. You didn't give a fuck about professional wrestling in WCW. It wasn't until WWE where you saw how a real company should be treating, you know, their talent at that time, 2003, 2002, 2004. Like, that's when you saw, like, oh, okay, I can really take this seriously. But in WCW, you didn't give a fuck about shit. You were just doing shit for clout, straight up.
He didn't. Yeah. I think it was probably at the turn of his son. That's when he started taking the business serious. Back in WCW, he was just like, fuck it, bro. All clout. I want to be the top dogs. Because I know there was some parts, or maybe my memory doesn't serve me well, but I know there was some moments where, you know, he would get mad and give people receipts for
Bret Hart
reason.
Like, please like don't that. Hurt me in the match. That's all I'm saying. No problem, son.
Yeah. There you go. Hurting people for no reason. Before anything, bro, before my son John Cena got disrespected, you were the two moves of doom yourself, bro.
Half-ass MMA punter kick.
That's it. I mean, that's all I'm thinking about. But no, I mean, you can't blame him. You can't blame him. He is living his best life. He's 53 years old. He gets called back. He's either in a title shot picture or he gets the strap. He gets paid millions of dollars. So, I mean, you can't be mad at him. But the comments, bro,
yeah, you are.
You're irrelevant right now, brother. So
Horrible. Well, I think we're going to end on that caveat right there. So much to look forward to in the month of December. We have our Wrestle Kingdom coming out in January. We'll talk about that. We're also going to be talking about TLC as well, too.
I'm not too sure if we're going to get into ROH Final Battle. We'll see what happens.
Yo, you saw your boy Gresham posting with the two belts and the picks and stuff like that?
That fucking marred the fucking injury or COVID-19. So it's like four tag team matches in one main event. So I'm like, I'm not sure. I'm not sold right now if I want to put myself through that.
Yeah, I feel you, man. That's kind of crappy for ROH, especially with, you know, bringing the belt back and Gresham doing his thing. So it kind of sucks, man, with EC3 and the Briscoes doing some phenomenal job out there, too.
Definitely,
so
definitely, bro. Now, if people want to talk to you and say, hey, the Nipomania, Blue Demon Jr., Pagano, why should I invest my time? Why should I invest almost 3 hours to watch these guys wrestle? Where can people find you?
People can invest more than 3 hours if they know some good wrestling. So I'll give you some free advice right now. But yeah, no, definitely if you want to talk some chess man and some Pagano hair versus hair match, you can hit me up at my Instagram, which is SunEater1A altogether. That's SunEater1A. The number one, 1A. So yeah, my Twitter, same handle, SunEater1A. You can hit me up there. We've been dropping the cheap fucking plug all night. Well, it's not a cheap plug. It's a priceless plug. I take that back. Dang it. If you guys like MMA, the Kimura Chronicles. Val mentioned it in the beginning of the show. We just recently did the UFC 256 review, Moreno versus Figueiredo. So if you want to check out our opinions and how we felt about that event, go check out the Kimura Chronicles. That episode is out. The Kimura Chronicles has a Facebook, a Instagram, and a Twitter. And that podcast is all over. It's all over, you know? And you can get our insight about Megan Olivia and Tito Torres having a slap mud match. So
stay tuned for the last 5 seconds of that. Go check that out. Not even the last minute of that podcast. Fantastic.
The last minute. Also, if you guys like video games, you know, Cyberpunk is out right now. Cyberpunk is hot. And you like anything, we talk about video games as well. We do everything. We're like the Renaissance man. Oh, yeah. Podcasting shit.
Michelangelo, Leonardo. We got this shit. Not Ninja Turtles.
We're like that.
Oh, the hell yeah, we are. Shit, holding down the spear of Christ and the cup of Christ. And no, not Ricky Martin, but it's okay. Outros always get fucked.
I love it. The cup of Christ. they get raunchy. I love them. But yeah, bro. If you guys like video games, check out the Lag Switch Gaming podcast, which is a podcast that's all about video games. What are you chuckling about? What's wrong with me? Bro, I don't want to go on the tangent, but now you got me thinking about the cup of Christ. The song.
Do you really want it?
Oh, bro, I'm so done. You.
So what I need to see is fucking Triple Mania. Ricky Martin come out to that shit.
Yo, you done that? Fuck that. That's Pagano's jam right there coming out. Yeah, they get funky. But yeah, Lag Switch Gaming, we talk about video games out there. That has Instagram. The podcast is on Apple and Spotify, and of course on Anchor. Shout out to Anchors, you the real MVP. That's where you can find me, and Val's out there as well doing his thing with our boy Jake and some childhood friends. Now, Mr. Val Cisco, if people want to talk to you about how Goldberg is the wrestling god and he has the Goldberg is the wrestling god and he is like the modern day Adonis.
That dude is a Larry Zbysko of 2020.
Oh, I'm so done. And if some people want to sit here and talk to you about Deanna Purrazzo,
it better be all positive. I'll fucking crap in your cereal. I don't give a fuck. y'all can find me at Val Cisco on Twitter. You can find me at Val Cisco on Instagram. Pop Culture FedEx, a podcast where we talk about everything from horror movies to top 5 countdowns of pop culture and anime and things of that nature. It's also on all podcast platforms. It's a Facebook page, Instagram page, and Twitter page by the same name. And always here with you on Elite Wrestling Audio, the only podcast where two Boricuas really give their point of views about professional wrestling from a fan's point of view. We don't take bumps neither way, not cocaine or on the ring.
No, word. No.
But...
Shit, let me do Let me do bump, get my head straight.
If y'all enjoy this whole podcast besides the last 5 minutes of it and want to donate anything,
I think I think the 5 minutes
we should put like a timestamp right here. Fast forward to the last 5 minutes of this podcast. Y'all are so generous enough to want to donate anything to this podcast. We have a Patreon set up on Anchor. If you follow the Anchor link, there's a Patreon set up where you can donate 50 cents to $5 if you want to. It'll help us with podcast productions, new mics, different things of that nature. Hell, if you want to venture off to YouTube and show our luscious faces, we could do that as well too.
Oh, her! We can show
hell
our
yeah.
Romero bodies.
Yeah. I'm gonna show you the real Larry T right now.
That ass, yeah. But yeah, anything, man. We'll take anything. Much appreciated.
Exactly. And of course, you can find this podcast on other outlets as well too: iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Oh yeah.
Take me off.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah. I'm from Tennessee and I like that iHeartRadio. Shout out to
anybody. It always got them jams bumping, man. What's that application with the heart that they play music? Go to bump
bump.
There
good
you go.
Kid,
yeah,
iHeart. Cody, I like that kid right here.
Talking about day and night. Yeah. That's me right there. Wake that's my to, jam.
Wake
my,
up to the rooster's crow in the morning, whiskey. Day and night. Yeah. Fed me like a whole fucking class of people right now. We love you guys.
Bro. We love you guys, and like I said, we do this for you. And shout out as always to our French listeners. We don't know who you are, but hey, we would love for you to interact.
5% of our listenership is from France.
And
speak up already.
Hey, word, speak up. Let us know who you are so you can get shouted out here. So that's you know what? I'm going to pose a challenge to you, our French listeners. Definitely hit us up. Let us know. Email us or hit us up on our pages so you can get that shout out, man. So
really
you can get the love.
One,
you know, we appreciate it.
1998, the one the French dude that's like, what did you see, old man? And he puts like the fucking lighter in front of his face. And the guy's like, Gojira. Gojira.
I hope it's
Gojira.
I hope it gives me some shows of GSP all day taking on Captain America.
All right, guys.
That's what I want.
I think we're done with the shenanigans.
We need to get Jake and tell. We need to get Jake and tell him like, yo, we gotta do another open mic night, bro, on your podcast.
Talk about the shenanigans over here, guys. From all of us over here, Elite Wrestling Audio. Always keep it sweet, but always keep it elite, brother. It's always been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, man. Take care. I had fun. Everybody enjoy
your
Sunday.
Christmas holiday.